ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Gay porn propaganda. Pryor headlined an LGBT film fest and fundraiser called Level Ground. Pryor also endorsed the LGBT Revoice Conference, which has by now been resoundingly rejected as pro-gay by just about everybody who's anybody, except for Dr. Pryor, who continues to endorse it in spite of it being gay-affirming. She's given affirming words towards the anti-cop hate group Black Lives Matter, and she ridiculed Mike Pence for following the Billy Graham rule, which is basically he doesn't go out with other women to dinner without his wife. Hey, I don't counsel women without my wife. That's just being wise. Pryor promotes and supports illegal immigration, says the poor people in bad neighborhoods shouldn't have firearms. Why? Southern Baptist Convention? Come on, guys. There are wolves in the church, and they're turning people away from the God of the Bible and drawing them to the God of self, where we decide what's right and wrong. And again, the Lord has said, come out from among them. And what are we saying? By our actions, we will not? I'm not trying to offend anyone here. If I've come against a group that you support, I'm sorry. I would just encourage you to check out the group more. But the one I'm dealing with right now is Hillsong. You may wonder why Hillsong. Well, I'll just put this up. Josh Canfield and Reed Kelly are probably out homosexual couple who preached the gospel of the LGBT agenda. They became engaged last year and are planning a wedding for some time in 2016. They feel no conviction of any kind for the lifestyle they lead, and yet, shockingly, they are allowed to lead the worship choir during the church service at Hillsong in New York City. How can you allow that? See, that's a problem for me. Not that God hates homosexuals. He loves sinners. But we don't embrace their lifestyle. We're also told the Hillsong brand of Christianity is one marked with pursuing earthly treasures, entertainment, celebrity, and sensationalism. Now, again, I'll show you why I'm saying that. It's kind of like pop Christianity, drawing from all the entertainment and commercial success of the 21st century. Pop Christianity appeals to the temporal at the expense of the eternal. And it's not unique to Hillsong Christianity. It was the sociologist Christian Smith in his book Soul Searching whose research formulated the most popular beliefs that today's professing Christians hold to. Through interviewing hundreds of Christians, his research revealed that professing Christians' most important beliefs about their faith are this: God wants people to be good, nice, and fair to each other. The central goal of life is to be happy and feel good about oneself. Good people go to heaven when they die. All right, let me just ask you about the last one. What's wrong with that? Good people go to heaven when they die. There are none. Thank you very much. Praise God for you answering that. There are none. No, not one, the Bible says. So how do good people go to heaven? They don't. Well, how do we get to heaven? Through Jesus. He paid for our sins. That's the only way. We're only good because of him. His righteousness has been given to us through faith. He took our sins, gave us his righteousness. Smith coined the term moralistic therapeutic deism to describe this form of Christianity. It is moralistic in that there are rules, deistic in that there is a God, and therapeutic because the goal of this faith is happiness. Well, here's the thing. Ryan Houston, founder of Hillsong Church, his book, You Need More Money. Yeah. Tell me about it, right? Is that material? Absolutely. And then you start looking at their worship experience. And I shared with you, I think it was last year, how their Christmas show was like a burlesque show from the 20s. How is that worship before God? It's not. Hillsong Gold Coast literally turned its service into a circus. Doubt that? That's their worship service. Is that worshiping God? Again, who are we worshiping? Almighty God? The creator of heaven and earth? Norwich Cathedral in England had a helter-skelter installed. Reverend Jonathan Myrick delivered a sermon atop the carnival ride saying, God is a tourist attraction, and God wants to be attractive to us, for us to enjoy ourselves, each other, and the world around us. And this glorious helter-skelter is just about that. This is what it looked like. An Anglican church installed a mini golf course in its sanctuary. The Roman Catholic Church designed a Pokemon Go style app for you to play with Follow JC Go, and you catch all the saints of the church for your pilgrimage. What is going on? Church in Texas had this installed for their worship. It was during March Madness, very appropriate. But this is their altar or stage or whatever. This is their worship. Is that what we need to worship a holy God? Absolutely not. We need to be careful when we worship God that it's not about entertaining us, that it's about worshiping the creator of heaven and earth, a holy God. See, we're more interested today in happiness than holiness. My feelings more than God's desire for my life. And now we're reaping what we've been sowing for years. Christians, and many times so-called Christians, who embrace a Christianity that you don't even find in the Bible anymore. And just when you think it might get better, it gets more bizarre. Listen to what the Roman Catholic Church is doing, even worse than Pope Francis blessing a Pacama goddess idol a week earlier. This is what they looked like, worshiping this idol. We're told Pope Francis advances the one world religion at Vatican with female shaman leading worship service dedicated to Inca Mother Earth goddess Pacaama at Amazon Sina. For Archbishop Vigano, this is consistent with Francis's aberrant Abu Dhabi declaration that alleges that God wills all religions. So, Buddhist, Hindu, Muslim, all religions, we're all worshiping the same God. That's what he's saying. He observes personally that Pacaman cult in the Vatican Gardens in St. Peter's Basilica and during the Synod closing mass by placing an idolatrous plant on the altar. He calls this Pacaman show an initiatory rite of the new religion in order to align the church with anti-human and anti-Christian strategies that dominate the global scene and are supported by those powers. He's trying to bring the world together into one world religion. It's even worse than that. Think about, in the Bible, one of the worst atrocities, idols that were ever established. Here it is. This is what the Roman Catholic Church set up. Molech, the god, the children of Israel and the Canaanites, the pagans, placed their children in his arms to sacrifice those fiery hands. And it's placed at Rome's Colosseum at the entrance. Why would you do that? Of all the things that you do, why would you put an idol like that? The statue of Molech was erected 9 days prior to the opening of the Amazon Synod, which was plagued with controversy from the beginning after a ceremony in the Vatican Gardens involving the pagan goddess Pacaama, which was held in the presence of Pope Francis and top-ranking prelates. Some Catholics are distressed that the pagan god Molech has been erected at the entrance to the Colosseum, which is one of the many amphitheaters where Christians were tortured and executed for their entertainment of the pagan crowds. Understand that the Catholic Church owns the Colosseum. They're the ones that put this idol there. Okay, this is not some other group. This is the Roman Catholic Church doing this. We're told, we were so excited the day we decided to go to the Colosseum Alexandra Clark told Life Site News via email. She and her sister Tiffany were looking forward to visiting the site of Christian martyrdom. But the moment we got there, the sight that greeted us was horrifying. Standing guard over the entrance was the colossal pagan statue of Molech. It was placed in the prime spot so that everyone that entered into the Colosseum had to pass by it. Wow. Look at what's on his chest, okay? I'll give you a close-up of it. This is what we're erecting to let people see? The sacrifice of children? How horrible. Why in the world would you put up with something like that? The only reason is that they're in darkness. They don't want to exalt the name of Jesus Christ. It would go against what they believe. They have no problem promoting a false Jesus, but not the Jesus of the Bible. And God says, come out. But their actions are saying, we will not. We're going deeper and darker. And let me say this. I'm not just picking on the Roman Catholic Church. I'm picking on the Protestant Church as well, because they're coming together. And again, I never thought it would happen as quickly as it is. I really thought the Protestant Church was pretty solid in the Word of God and knew what God's Word said, but they've moved so far away from the Word of God now, they are embracing Roman Catholicism. Roman Catholicism and Protestantism are different, okay? And understand, as they come together, it's not the Catholic Church is compromising what they believe. It's the Protestant Church. When the Roman Catholic Church talks about grace, it's different than what we believe. Our grace is unmerited favor. God is freely giving us something that we don't deserve, eternal life. It's not something we earn. We don't work for it at all. Grace in the Catholic Church is, yes, God gives us a gift, but we have to maintain it. We have to work for it. So there's a baptism and communion, confirmation, all these things that you have to go through. And even then, you don't get into heaven. You have to go to purgatory to atone for your sins there. So when Jesus said that it is finished on the cross of Calvary, he didn't mean it. Of course he did. In fact, he sat down at the right hand of the Father, meaning the work was completed. But see, the Protestant Church has to compromise that belief. There's coming a false prophet, and this is during the tribulation period. So along with the Antichrist, we don't know who he's going to be, but we also don't know who the false prophet is going to be, but I have an idea where he's going to come from. But this is what we're told in Revelation chapter 13, verses 11 through 15. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs so that even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. I'm sorry. This is not a prophet of God. This false religious leader has two horns, and he appears to be a lamb, but he's not. He's not a believer. He speaks deception, and he's like a dragon. He's a false prophet. And that will get the world to worship the Antichrist in his pseudo-resurrection, appearing like Jesus Christ. They will worship the Antichrist as God. Now, this is interesting. The Roman Catholic Church and the Islamic Church, what they did on February 13th, 2019, they signed One World Religion Covenant. Is Jesus Christ the same as Allah? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. How could we sign a covenant with them? Very interesting. We're told a historic document signed recently by Pope Francis and leading Muslim Imam Sheikh Ahmad al-Tayyib, whose official title is the Grand Imam of Al-Azhar, has many observers very concerned. This historic meeting between the head of the Roman Catholic Church and the most important imam in Sunni Islam took place in Abu Dhabi at a gathering of religious leaders representing Christianity, Islam, Judaism, and other faiths. So there's just more than just them. On the surface, the covenant entitled "A Document on Human Fraternity for World Peace and Living Together" stipulates its intention is to foster peace between nations, religions, and ethnic groups while combating extremism and violence. Obviously, this is an admirable effort worthy of support. Yet certain ambiguous language in the document regarding God leads many to be cautious of the implications that may arise, particularly the idea that such a document could form the groundwork for a one-world religion. The document uses the same term, God, to simultaneously reference the God of the Bible and Allah. Again, Allah is not a god. It's a demon, okay? Not the same. One glaring example of this categorizes Christians and Muslims as "we who believe in God." In other words, the whole idea is we worship the same God, is what it's saying. Moreover, the document claims that the idea that people should adhere to a certain religion should be rejected. Therefore, according to this document, the perfect will of God allows for hundreds of different religions that must all be considered as equally valid. Well, that's interesting because Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Is that what all these other religions do? Absolutely not. And again, we're moving closer towards this one world religion. Robert Mueller said these words, and really, speaking of this one world religion, it's kind of interesting. He was the former Assistant Secretary General at the UN. This is what he said. "We have brought the world together as far as we can politically. To bring about a true world government, the world must be brought together spiritually. What we need is a United Nations of religions." Isn't that amazing? That's just what the Bible said is going to happen. It's like they read the Bible and they're following the storyline, but they didn't. They're doing these things that they believe on their own. And this is the heart of man moving away from God. Look at how the Catholic Church is reaching out to the Protestant Church and how this is all coming together. In this picture, you see Francis Chan here with priests, and they're all praying over Francis Chan, a Protestant. We're told this: "Our issues was less about Chan's preaching and more about the tactic approval he continually gives to rank heretics. Chan has taken it a step further. He has teamed up with the Mother of Harlots and is giving full approval to the Roman Catholicism as he sits, takes his shoes off, and allow Catholic priests to pray over him at the One Thing Ecumenical Conference. The One Thing Conference is held annually at IHOP KC, International House of Prayer, Kansas City, a church, charismatic church run by Mike Bickle out of Kansas City. When Khan invited the priest up on stage to pray for him, they spoke of each other as brothers who partake in the Eucharist, a Roman Catholic perversion of the Lord's Supper, and discuss the desire to be united in their common faith." So we partake together in the Eucharist, where the bread and wine turn into the actual blood and body of Jesus Christ? Absolutely not. Not because I said so, but that's what the Bible says. And I know they'll go to John and they'll use that as their proof text, but again, read on in John, where Jesus says that the flesh profits nothing. And again, the little magic hocus pocus that changes the bread into wine doesn't. You'll never find that in the scriptures. At one moment, a Catholic priest began to chant the Lord's Prayer the way it is chanted in a Roman Catholic Mass while Chan sat there with his head bowed. The entire congregation joined in on the repetitious chant. Chan declines to give the gospel to a Catholic because the Holy Spirit doesn't want me to. You know, think about this for a minute. And I've watched the Catholic channels from time to time. And you watch them, and they repeat these prayers over and over. It's a mantra. I mean, this is what Hindus do and so on. Why are you doing this? The Lord came against vain repetition. When we pray, we talk to Him. He wants a conversation. Could you imagine going to your spouse and talking to him? "Hi, hon, I love you. Hi, 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 hon," and you get faster and faster because that's what they do. And she would leave you. Because that's just crazy. She wants a conversation. If my wife wants a conversation with me and not just me repeating words over and over again, do you think the Lord wants me to hear words over and over and over and over again? No, He wants to talk. You see, sin separated us from God. That fellowship was broken. Jesus didn't come just to save us out of hell. He came to restore that fellowship that sin had broken. And so God wants that intimate fellowship with us. Another article tells us this. Over the last 12 months, we've seen major efforts by the Vatican to build a bridge between Catholics and multiple religious leaders around the world, and with great success. It is a continuation of a decades-old attempt to gather all religions into an all-exclusive global religious community, and it is in the last stages of development. The question is not, will a one-world religion be formed, but how close are we to its culmination? In his book, Perestroika, Mikhail Gorbachev said that there are three root causes for war: political conflicts, religious conflicts, and economic conflicts. His offered solution was a one-world government, a global religious system, and a global economy. Again, he read the Bible. No, he didn't. But this is the heart of man, to move away from God, develop this one-world government, one-world religious system, and a global economy. I mean, if you look at some of the reports about the economies of the world, they can go at any second. And that will usher in the ability to form a global economy. On page 231, Mr. Gorbachev put together an all-embracing system of international security. Item number 4II of this list states, we must extirpate all genocide, apartheid, and religious exclusiveness. The extirpate means to kill off. Therefore, Mr. Gorbachev is saying that we must kill off or abolish all religious exclusive individuals. Who is that? Okay? We're exclusive because we believe Jesus is the only way. We believe the Bible is the Word of God. We believe judgment is coming because God is going to judge sin. Understand what's happening in this world. Where do we fit into this picture? We don't. We don't. And we'll talk about it in our next study when we look at social credit systems. And they evaluate you. Are you speaking up for the government or against the government? Are you holding on to a religious belief or aren't you? There's lots of trouble out there if you hold on to what God has said in His Word and you hold on to Jesus. And I realize that many Christians don't care, or many aren't even aware of what's going on in the church today. They don't see this push between the Catholic Church and the Protestant Church under the leadership of the Pope. I'll just share this report with you. It's only a matter of time when the Holy Spirit will move and make us one under the Vicar of Christ on the earth, the Pope. Following more than 500 years of separation, American and European Protestant leaders met with Pope Francis last week. And this is from 2015, so a few years back, to finalize the reunification of the two churches under the Holy See. This historic agreement is the result of a year's worth of unpublicized talks between Protestant leaders and the Vatican. Understand, this is going undercover, okay? This is not something that is being spoken of out there. Look at the people that are joining them. These are people, and Tony Palmer is no longer with us. I believe he died a few years back. Others. Rick Warren, Joel Osteen. This is where we're at, guys. We're told prominent American pastors, Joel Osteen, Rick Warren, respectively, as well as Justin Welby, the Archbishop of Canterbury, were among the Protestant delegation that met with Pope Francis last week. Pastor Warren, founder of Saddleback Church in Lake Forest, California, spoke with members of the International Press in St. Peter's Square. Listen to what he said. Now, this is a Protestant leader that ministers to probably millions of people. This is what he said. Protestants as a people have a long history of heresy. The time for reconciliation is now in order to ensure a full and dogmatic transition into the folds of the church. So we have a long history of heresy? Are you kidding me? Now, granted, we're not perfect, but don't you think that getting the gospel message right is one of the most important messages out there? And the Roman Catholic Church misses it because it tells you that you have to work your way to heaven, that Jesus is not enough. Or you go to Mary. And yet the Bible tells us there is one mediator between God and man, and that's Jesus. So why do I have to go to Mary? I don't. I just go to him. Moments before the meeting with reporters, the entire Protestant delegation, for the first time ever, entered the confessional to take part individually in the sacrament of penance. So going into the confessional, I thought we could just confess our sins before the Lord. Why do I have to go to a priest? He's a mediator. I don't need a mediator. I need Jesus. It's important that we practice in these sacred rituals before asking our congregation to do the same, Pastor Osteen said, adding that this time, his time in confession was immensely moving an experience, a moving experience. As Protestants around the world make the transition to Catholicism,
devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us? As we feast on God's word, come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.